Are you ready for Free Comic Book Day this Saturday, May 5th? SBI Press, Starburns Industries' brand new publishing arm, is releasing Starburns Presents, our very first comic book, for free at local comic shops across the country and the world. Inside, you'll get a first look at our new upcoming titles, including Comics Comics with Patton Oswalt, Gregory Graves from Dan Harmon and Eric Esquivel, Oddwell, Frog of War from David Clark, Cedric Harris, and Walter Bryant, and Helicious from Alan C. Medina and Mina Elwell. Once you take a look, ask your local comic shop to pre-order as many issues as you want for you and your friends. If you are a Los Angeles local, Eric Esquivel will be signing comics at Alternate Universe in Echo Park, and Golden Apple Comics in Hollywood will have comics available with Patton Oswalt's signature. Check out our social media for details on other signings near you. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at SBI Press. Thanks!
Hello, I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to My Opening Line, where we talk to comedians about their very first times on stage. Be sure that you have the Laughable app. It's free, laughable.com. You subscribe to podcasts like you would on any, podcasting app, but you can also subscribe to the person. For example, you subscribe for free to one Nick Thune. Anytime Nick is on any podcast anywhere in the world,
whether he's hosting or guesting,
it'll pop into your feed.
So you could follow him.
It's the future. Ladies and gentlemen.
I got to sign up for that.
It's so good.
I want to know where I'm at.
I got to know when I'm doing these podcasts.
Nick Thune, how you doing?
I'm good.
Nick is a fantastic comedian, of course, and musician. He puts them together, et cetera. Do you remember, what did you do first, stand-up on stage or music on stage?
I was doing music in a cover band called No Hablos, where we just covered, like, Enrique Iglesias, different Spanish artists.
Why him?
We just thought it was funny to, like, have a band where we just covered these kind of, you know, Ricky Martin, all this stuff.
Did you do well?
Yeah, we had like a good following because we had a big group of friends, and we would play at a bar, and you know, we would do some other songs too, but we would wear these shirts that say No Hablos, and I wasn't like the lead guy, but I was the most flamboyant kind of guy, and we had a like intermission that we had to do, and I was like, well, maybe during the intermission I'll do a bit or something, and I started performing in the intermission.
Now, was this off the cuff, like at the end of one of the sets, or did you plan it ahead of time?
I planned it. The first time I recreated the whole scene from Footloose, where he dances in the barn with his. He starts at the Beatle and then he goes into the barn.
Did you learn all the choreography and actually?
I did kind of, and I actually had a guy like holding a, because the whole thing starts off with him pushing a tape into a tape player.
Right.
And so I actually like got a tape, like a car tape player, like pulled it out of a car and like sat in a chair and had a guy holding it and like pushed a tape into it and then did the whole thing and thought it was really funny. And
Did it get good laughs, good response?
People were confused.
What song is what?
I mean, I had a lot of confusion, and I tried doing stand-up in Seattle where I was from, and then really quickly realized that I did not want to perform in front of people that knew me. Like, if I was going to make it, I needed to perform in front of strangers and like get.
Why? What was the response of people who knew you?
I just didn't want to look at them.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I didn't want to talk to them afterwards.
Yeah, I would. I used to sing, and when people came to my show, if I knew you, I would say, please sit in the back, make sure you're not under a light, make sure you're in a space that I can't see you, because it's so weird. You're going to watch me do this vulnerable thing that.
Yeah.
I'm about to pretend I'm a rock star, and you don't
right.
think I'm a rock star. So let me do my pretending with you in the dark.
It's true. I mean, you just don't want. I love going to Iowa and performing and not having to have put one person on the list. not having to worry about anybody, like, oh, is my cousin coming? Mm. Oh, fucking Keith is going to be here. You know, like those, because Keith will fucking get drunk and say something.
Yeah.
It's my cousin. I'm like, dude, shut up.
We're family, you know.
In the middle of a set.
Right.
So your first time doing it without people in the audience, how did that go?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it went okay. I remember the first joke that I wrote, though, that was a real joke. I was in the bathroom at this place about to go on stage. I was next.
Were you pooping or peeing?
I was peeing, and I had been saying something in my head over and over again. I'd been saying, my roommate walked in on me while I was masturbating. I was just, like, thinking that because my roommate had done that. My roommate walked in on me while I was masturbating. And then I just said, literally 20 to 30 seconds before I got introduced, I said, no, I walked in on my roommate while I was masturbating.
And it
like hit in my head, and I went on stage and I opened with that, and it changed my whole life.
Really? Did you start your set with that for a long time?
Open with it.
Yeah?
It got a bigger laugh than anything I'd ever said. It got a bigger laugh than anything I had to say after it. And it was my first taste of, this is good.
And
this
then did
is
you,
what I like.
Did you keep urinating, trying to find the magic?
I'm like, and then I had to pee. I realized I could only write while I'm peeing.
And is that when you go, hey, I got to tell the band I'm done?
It gets hard when you write a good joke when you're starting out and you're like, wow, I don't have anything else. What the fuck?
Right. he over-explains that. He's like, can you imagine? Because obviously I could have stopped.
It's a guy who blows his whole load right up top. But right. Like, no, then that joke got longer. He started to make a longer note.
Your dick got bigger. The joke got longer.
Yeah.
What happened? So your roommate just walks into your room while your dick is in your hand?
I was in the bathroom jerking off or something. I don't know. I was 22 or so. I don't know. Who knows? Mm. But it just happened. This never happened to you?
I don't like to masturbate in the bathroom. It seems cold. I got to be very comfortable and in bed and
yeah,
everything.
Girls like to like lie in bed.
Yeah.
Where guys are like, well, I've got this stuff that I got to get rid of.
Right. It's a job.
It's like, well, how do I distribute this material?
I do feel like if I had a joystick, I could walk around with it. But this, you know, you need a certain level of pressure and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not as convenient.
Yeah. I think if I put it all in one place, I'd be breaking dumping laws. So I do try to move around like you're saying. Little here, little there, and then I'm on my way. Nobody knows nothing. And when do you realize, hey, I'm a musician. How about I introduce music into my stand-up?
Well, I wanted to be like a real musician, and yeah. I just didn't have it. It's just hard, man.
How do you make peace with that?
You do comedy.
Or at the time anyway, yeah.
You laugh about it for the rest of your
life. But that's got to be... I mean, we know a lot of artists that don't have any talent and don't give up. Well, are you able to go, okay, I know me enough, this isn't me?
Well, I have friends that like are famous musicians and they like... They get laughs on stage. And I've said to them, like, you realize you're not funny, right? Like,
right.
They're only laughing because they think you're a fucking god. Like, what you're saying isn't, like, worth a laugh.
They're surprised you can say
that. And they're just like, yeah, I know. It's like, right. These people are in the fucking palm of my hand. And it's right. Like,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
And then when they come see you and you're playing while you're telling jokes that, you know, you can't play, right? Like,
yeah.
They think you can play because
you're
telling
jokes. No, I know I'm not talented. I know that I don't. But, like, it's like, if you, like, go to a Dave Matthews concert, for instance. Like,
well, he tried comedy.
Yeah, but, like, or John Mayer. It's like, the things that you're saying... aren't
it was John
fucking
Mayer.
Funny.
Right.
These people just worship you, you know? And that kind of comes with any career. Like, at any point you're performing, eventually the audience are your fans and they will just love everything you say.
Yeah, the jury will laugh at the lawyer's joke one time during a case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with comedy, I mean, I don't know. With actual comedy, with music, I realized, oh my God, I can't write a song. And my voice sucks. I mean, I guess I could figure it out at some point and maybe do something, but I might as well just, like, be a clown.
Well, congrats.
Like, I don't know. Maybe people will fucking laugh at me.
Were you with your wife at the time when you're like, I'm going to start focusing on comedy? No?
Okay. No, I was alone.
So alone.
Right. Yeah.
And that was extra funny.
I'm really glad I was.
That's got to be tough to, you know, I would think, even if, you know, not having the relationship first. You know, I'm looking into podcasting.
Yeah, what? It's tough because...
Oh, I'm inventing it.
It's hard because I think starting stand-up with a partner would be so tough. Because, it's excruciating. And it's time-consuming. And
people wonder why you do certain things you do, like staying up late and you're already done with your set. Why are you hanging out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, like just last week I did a show and... I don't perform as much in town now when I'm home. I try and be home, but I forgot, like, I got home and was like, I can't go to bed. I just got I just performed. Like, I need to...
You need to come down.
I need to come down from this, you know? And, like, when I'm on the road, it's
coke
different.
Isn't helping.
Yeah. Oh, God. I got to try coke, but...
What's the favorite drug that you've ever tried?
My favorite drug?
Yeah. Mine's acid.
I've never done acid.
Mm. It's so much more mild than I thought.
I've never done coke.
Never did coke.
I've thought about... mushrooms. Mm. I've had like pretty... I think I've done them like 4 times. I've had really good experiences. I've never had a bad mushroom trip, which I think happens to people. Because I've never taken a ton of mushrooms. I've always just... a really funny comedian, the first time I took mushrooms, it was at Bonnaroo. And he said, just nibble them. Just nibble. Get the giggles. You don't need to take too much. And I was like, okay. And I've always taken his advice.
Do you want to tell us who that person is so he gets the proper credit?
Right.
I'm guessing Ari Shaffir, but you wouldn't be. You would just say that if it was.
It was Attorney General of California.
I just hear Bonnaroo and mushrooms. And I'm like, Ari Shaffir. Right.
I've seen Ari on mushrooms at Bonnaroo.
You don't think he nibbles?
His nickname, the guy that told me that his nicknames are his initials are Z and G.
Right.
But he, he taught me, and I've never taken too many. I have been around people that have taken too many. In fact, Pete Holmes, and we actually talked about it on his talk show when he had his talk show.
Is that where the laugh came from?
He's never gotten rid of that laugh.
Poor guy. Nibble.
No, Pete. We went to Big Bear to do mushrooms together. Just like, let's do it. We're going. And he fucking, like, cut up half the bag and mixed them with peanut butter and just ate it. And I'm like, what are you doing? We're just going to nibble.
Right.
And he was too far gone. He was like, you're dying, man. You're fucking dying. Oof. And I'm like, Jesus. And I had to drive and get him fucking bananas. And
whatever WebMD said to do.
Right.
I don't know. First of all, you have the gout. Secondly, you need a lot of fruit.
No. Throw bananas on it.
Right. How do you break the news to Los Hablos? That you're,
no hablos.
No hablos, that you're moving on.
They're still together.
Okay.
No, they... you know what's funny is...
They start talking to him and he goes, no hablos.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny. All those people that I knew then, which I still know, but I don't see, you know, if they would have ever imagined that my life, that I was going to become what I am. Or, you know,
whatever that is, sure. Whatever you guys
just
think
a comedian,
that is.
Just right, like right. To become a comedian, to be on the Tonight Show, to be on Sting, or you know, like right. I don't think any of them ever thought that.
Do you go to No Hablos reunions, or is that a slap in the face? That'd be rude, right?
No, but I did start an email chain,
and
we're BCCing Stevie Wonder.
Would you encourage, discourage, neither your son going into comedy? Like this.
I got him a microphone for Christmas.
Okay, so encourage.
And no, but it's like...
It shocks him every time he talks. Smart.
It does. Runs through his body.
Right. In fact, I have a buzzer on him. He just tells a joke at the dinner table. I buzz it.
I got it for him, and it was pretty funny watching him, like, because it is like a microphone on one end, and the other end there's a small speaker. And
okay.
It plays music. It's like this little kid karaoke thing, you know?
So cute.
And it's so cute. And watching him, it was so funny. And then turns out Daddy liked it a lot more than he liked it. To where I'm like literally in the corner like, I've got a fast car. I'm going to drive it anywhere. My wife's like, no more Tracy Chapman. Like, what? Just let me be me.
Oh, that's so nice that there's Tracy Chapman on there.
Of course they do. It's a Bluetooth situation.
Wow.
The technology these days is... Wow.
That's insane.
Other than you simply have to get on stage, is there advice that you wish you had when you were younger?
About performing?
Yeah, in general.
You know...
Do mushrooms in the woods.
No, I was so unaware that girls were horny.
Mm. It's important to know that.
Right. I didn't know that. I just thought it was dudes. And I remember like when I was in my mid-20s and I realized like, oh my God, girls want to fuck too? They're just not doing it as like a, like they have to do it for us.
Right.
They like us.
That was my whole 20s trying to convince guys like, girls want to fuck too.
I just want to like tell every little boy like, hey, girls like all of it just like you do. Don't be ashamed. Don't be a creep.
Honestly, like... best lesson we've learned on my opening line to date.
Right?
That's, I mean, yeah, go up and do stand up and be you and blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? Women like sex. Boom. Retweet. I like it.
That was one of my biggest revelations that I realized. I was like, wait a second, you guys like this too?
Did sex change after you realized that?
Yeah
it was like
all changed.
It was a little more enjoyable to flirt and to try to
I didn't feel like they were like doing me a duty. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, oh, you mm-hmm. like me.
At what age do you think you realized that? Yesterday?
I think I realized it when I was 22.
Okay.
I didn't fully realize it until I was maybe in my late 20s, but I think my first notion, but
it makes total sense to me.
Sexuality and comedy and in everything is so important, I think. And like being a sexual being and like bringing that out, and it's, you know, like I showered with my son yesterday. And my wife was like, really? You're going to keep showering with him? I'm like, yeah. I want him to know that it's okay to be naked, that we can just like walk around naked. Like, why not? I'm not a nudist or anything. I just let's just be fucking proud of what we have, you know, and love it, you know. And she's just like, what are you, a hippie now? I'm like, oh, I guess. I don't know.
My mom was naked in front of me all my life because she understood that, you know, I'm not going to be seeing anything different.
And now they don't talk.
That's true. Now we don't talk. But I do understand what you're saying. I was always taught that sex will be for the guy and, you know, they're going to be after you.
Yeah.
They're going to want it. And I was like, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to like dodge and weave and all this stuff. And then I fooled around for the first time and I was like, oh, no. I didn't expect to like it. I didn't expect to want more of it. I didn't expect to really just be just jazzed about the whole thing. And I was like, I'm in trouble now. This thing that I'm supposed to keep away from me. So it makes me feel good that you had that revelation, because I really was, you know, when I talked to my female friends, they were like, I'm so horny and I'm trying to have sex, but not have a complete disrespect happen to me. And we're trying to convince guys that you're not convincing us to have sex. We want this. But if you can come to the same place with us, we're going to have better sex.
Yeah.
So I love that you're teaching your son that somehow, you know, vicariously through nakedness.
Yeah. And he was like, so you have a daddy penis? And I don't. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're going to have – one day you'll have a daddy penis. It was like – but it's just bigger. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's just the way penises work. You know?
Congratulations. And, we saw how you snuck that in.
It's like, no, I have a small penis, but
– But you don't know that yet.
No, but it was just like funny, like – because I never asked that question growing up. Like I didn't know about penises growing. And then like I had to find out in fucking junior high in a shower when like my friend Jeff had a bigger dick than me. I was like – what's that?
It is a different world where you can Google this stuff when you have like half a thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they can.
No, but I'm letting my kid get very comfortable with the penis. We're going to lay him down and measure it against the wall every year. So he's a reference.
There is a point where it's like maybe, you shouldn't shower with your boy anymore.
34, right. I do want to see him 20 years from now.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in our 30s. We're showering together. And
right.
She's still breastfeeding.
Right. Well, Nick, I'll tell you what. Put me on the list. I'll see you at your next show. I think you're great.
Thank you, guys.
Is it funny when, like, let's say a Netflix or an Amazon, they go, hey, Nick, we're excited to work with you in the future. You know, put me on the list and we'll see you at the show. And you're like, you're supposed to be $1 million company. Pay $20 and don't make me do the work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They will. And they will. And I'll put them on the list.
And I'll do it.
So I teach them a lesson every time.
Right. You can follow Nick Thune online at Nick Thune at Twitter. And the website is nickthune.com. If you have a chance to see him live, you want to go. Trust me.
And don't forget, if you like this episode or any of our episodes, please like, share, and subscribe.
And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we call clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly-collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh, my